We have reached what nearly an artificial conclusion to what we call a year. And what an artificial year it's been, huh? Most of us are doing about the same amount of work, but the intensity of our lives has been magnified by 10 if we're paying attention at all. So intense has been the news in the last year that many of us have either burned out or sought out ways to curtail our hour-by-hour awareness of what is being exploded into our digital screens via tweet or breaking news updates. And others of us have simply fallen headfirst into the digital world of gaming as an alternative or perhaps an escape. I suspect, incidentally, that all addictions have seen a serious upswing in 2017, and we need to remember that and hold those folks faithfully in our prayers. The church, faith, spirituality has had a rough 2017. Religious organizations across the board have seen a downturn in attendance and giving, while the need for a vibrant faith experience has only grown stronger. But by and large, faith in religious organizations and clergy has grown precarious. People in general are asking very good questions about the trustworthiness of churches and clergy and wondering if we are the best investment of time, energy, dollars in the midst of what, intense competition with work and family and free time. And many of us ask, what can faith do for us in these times? What kind of faith is needed? Who can we trust in the days of hashtag MeToo and Black Lives Matter, along with the rise of white nationalism? What can Jesus, what can God do? What can a church community do in the midst of such a rapidly exploding social norms in so many places? I mean, good God, California tomorrow has legalized the recreational use of marijuana, while our own state of Indiana has grown even more conservative and has taken all cannabis oil products off the shelves, even though the benefits of medical use is well established. We're part of a society that most of the time just does not make coherent sense. And churches have too often even made less sense as we have, what, relished in our assurance of eternal salvation while seemingly being satisfied to let the world rot around us. Too often, we in the church have made Jesus and his birth, his life, his death, about redeeming our souls from any number of sins so that when we die, we have a home in heaven, rather than study diligently and apply the life of Jesus that he lived, who sought to bring his redemption to his people and then to all the people through a societal cultural movement that reflected what he taught to be the essence of God's values. It's not that Jesus didn't believe in individual salvation. It's just that the Jesus we see in the gospel accounts really believed that if you have your life, if I have my life firmly centered in the heart of God, then your life and mine will reflect God's values in such a way that flowers attract bees and honey feeds bears. All I am seeking to suggest is that as individuals, as a church, our church is only as good as the honey we produce. What good is a faith with the power to save our souls but not transform our lives and by extension the lives of those we live with on this planet? I don't think the world's a problem, nor is California's pot laws or even our governor's removing cannabis oils from the retail shops. The problem lays with how little we are willing to stay stuck out there and risk becoming the paradigm of what it means to be a woman or a man whose totality reflects the image of God that is in us. The world is waiting to discover a better way, and you and I need to step up to the plate and risk allowing our lives to be transformed, that others will see what a difference it will make to have the Christ child born through our very lives. What good is a gospel with the power to save, but not to transform lives in society? I have sort of chuckled with our president's recent comments through the last year about the war on Christmas. That war, to the degree that I understand what he's talking about, is about the right to proudly say Merry Christmas to anyone, especially to someone who is Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist or anyone not Christian. And I rather favor the reality that there is a war on Christmas. It's been going on for a very much longer time than political correctness has ever existed. Incidentally, I'm in favor of being politically correct if by that one means recognizing that we live in a world where there is a plurality of meaningful and healthy faith, cultural and political expressions that differ from mine. God loves and values diversity, and by extension, so should I. Perhaps you should too. Early Christian theology, or I mean really early Christian theology, required all of those who called themselves disciples of Christ to renounce all of their property, to give to the needy, and preached a gospel of radical compassion toward the poor and the marginalized. In the very Christmas carol Mary sings upon learning about her conception of Jesus, "My soul magnifies the Lord, for he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich, the rich, he has sent away empty," end quote. An integral part of the good news as understood by the early Christians was that the Son of God was not a princeling, but a son of common laborers and refugees, victims of imperialism, fleeing their homeland in fear of persecution. Throughout his ministry, Jesus emphasized that the members of historically neglected groups, such as the poor, Samaritans, and children, each possesses a privileged insight into the spiritual reality that Jesus called the kingdom of God. You got to have a baby crying on Sundays like this, right? Jesus would be crying. Indeed, Jesus repeatedly required those who wish to join the community of his disciples, we don't really push this very hard, to sell all their property and distribute it among the poor. Often, the abandonment of livelihood and family were also demanded. For whomsoever put his hand back on the plow, Jesus says, was not fit to serve the kingdom of God. The radical renunciation of all property, power, presumptions, and privileges was considered a necessary condition for discipleship in this faith. Ouch! The early Christians, for a while, stayed faithful to this message. And everyone who joined the community of believers sold their property and gave it away according to the needs of those around them. The celebration and remembrance of Jesus' life at this point centered around the breaking of bread, not around this kind of a table, but around a dining room table and sharing a common meal, Jew and Gentile alike. It was a different time. True shared community has been so difficult to live that the early church punted in favor of a much easier individual soul salvation. But Jesus did not go around Greater Palestine saving individual souls except as part of what he was struggling to create, which was a society, no, a cultural movement, in which everyone had what they needed to thrive. He taught people how to share and asked the rich to give up what they had and to follow his way of doing things. Many followed, and several with whom he had direct contact said, no, we're not going to do that. But he moved a society, a culture, a nation toward fairness, equality, and oneness. And that was when the war on Christmas began in earnest. Rome decided to kill him rather than allow a tiny province in Judah, in Israel, to be transformed by a love, by a movement whose values were encompassing of everyone, not just an oppressive few. Today on Christmas, we spent multiple billions giving it all in so many ways to corporate interest, believing as we do that the more we have, the less lost we will feel. And in the end, society is not really better. I do have some cute Christmas socks, though. But that's the war on Christmas. Our believing that giving and receiving presents is an answer. It's very nice. But Jesus, Christianity, Islam, Judaism are meant to transform lives, corporations, and nations. To the words of the prophet Micah, who asked, what does God require of us to do but to love justice, love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God? The good news is Christmas has only just begun. This is the first Sunday of Christmas. We'll take down the tree, we'll store away the tinsel, but it's time to quiet ourselves, finally, to allow that birth to begin to take shape in us. It matters not how old you are or aren't. It matters not how many times, like me, you have failed or fallen. God begins each day anew and asks us to learn to walk humbly with God as we nurture this grand gift of life and love which is in us. Spend time, even if just starting with a daily moment of thankfulness. Spend time focusing on the gift that is in you. The gift of life and love that we have is not ours to keep, no matter how much we want to. A gift from God, a gift of healing and learning, is just always meant to be given away. The winter months are now upon us. If you've never worked the emergency winter shelter with us, please ponder it seriously. If you ask, I'll go with you. Chelsea over here, who is our site director, she sits over there on the staying warm, she'll give you a plum job. There are many good jobs to have that are not threatening. Go and visit and work with the underprivileged. I want you to go and risk giving to those who simply need care. You don't have to love them if you don't want to. Just care for them. Join one of our groups here at First United. Community does not happen without you making it happen. All of us need to risk fully investing in making this community, our community, vibrant and in touch with all of our lives. Risk learning more about what it means to be at First United. Be also the voice, friends, of justice and concern wherever it is that in your life that you live and work and breathe. Justice does not come from somebody else. It's waiting to be born out of your voice and mine. Give. Give to your church. Give to the causes we stand with. Our traditions are both long-standing with groups like MACM, Monroe County United Ministries, and brand new groups that we support like Planned Parenthood and LGBTQ youth. Give, give, give. Give well and give constantly. Give toward the development of a community that matters and that enables the least of these to simply have a fair, equitable chance. Give. It is the nature of the gift that was given to us. And be in relationship, deep and abiding relationship with all of us. We need each other for support. Be in relationship. Let us grow into God's community in 2018. Begin today. Amen.